Welcome to another edition of the Kid Zach Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Yes, indeed. It's a beautiful day today. We're in the month of October, around the middle of the week. I'm excited, guys. I'm happy. I'm happy to be back on here talking to you guys. I'm happy that you guys have tuned in once again. A lot has happened this past week when it came to NFL, you know, NBA, college. But we really, as you know, we're going to touch on NFL and some of your key teams and things of that nature. We're just going to have a lot going on right now. You know what I'm saying? We just really have a lot going on. As you can see today, I'm by myself. So, you know, I'm really have to bring the energy. So let's try that again from the top. Welcome to another edition of the Kid Zach Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. There we go. Now I'm feeling it. I got the energy. I'm ramped up. Now let's do this, guys. So, like I said, y'all, thank you so much for tuning in. There's so much news happening right now in the sports world, and I've got to attack it. So without further ado, allow me to introduce you to some of the topics that we will be discussing today. All right, John Gruden resigns as head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. We'll tap into that right away as the show begins. Kyrie Irving, if I said it right, Kyrie Irving, guys, cannot be around the Nets unless he's a full participant, which means he would have to get fully vaccinated. We'll discuss that as well. Patrick Mahomes, my homeboy, the Magic Man himself, took a tremendous loss to the Buffalo Bills on Sunday night. At home, actually, in Kansas City, 38-20. So now everybody's talking, oh my God, the sky's falling, the sky's falling. The Chiefs are 2-3. Is the Chiefs season over? We'll discuss. Chargers. My God. The Los Angeles Chargers outgunned the Cleveland Browns 47-42. Who is to blame for the Browns' loss? Is it the defense? Is it Baker Mayfield? Is it Odell Beckham? Is it Kevin Stefanski? We'll discuss. As we get into, I'll tell you who's to blame for. And the Dallas Cowboys have a big victory over the Giants. Now, this Cowboys team is looking special. So, are they looking special enough to be a Super Bowl contender this year? We'll find out. My Philadelphia Eagles had a big win on the road against the Carolina Panthers. We'll dive into that. And Lamar Jackson, my goodness. If you didn't see it Monday, you surely missed a treat. Lamar Jackson had a huge Monday night win. Does this mean the Ravens is going to win it all this year? We'll dive into that. And we're going to throw in a little college at the end, discussing the Red River Showdown between Oklahoma Sooners and the Texas Longhorns, but more so the quarterback controversy now at Oklahoma with Spencer Rattler. So without further ado, stop what you're doing, tune in, turn your radios up. You know what I mean? Wherever you're listening to this, you got me playing on your speakers, you know, whatever it is, in your Beats and your AirPods, turn it up and let's get to business. So, let's talk about John Gruden, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, yeah, you guys know him, you know, quarterback guru, right? Gruden's QB camp he used to have and went on to sign like a 10-year deal now with the Raiders. You know, he once coached before for the Buccaneers and the Raiders before, won a championship with the Buccaneers. And man, a lot comes out this past week talking about Gruden, but it ain't about the Raiders. It's about Gruden, guys. Well, let's just go ahead and break it down. Gruden apparently, first thing comes out is that he had made a statement about the head of the NFL union. I'm not sure what his name is. I'm still trying to find it. Pretty much saying his lips were big. Yeah. He's an African-American guy. And he has big lips. And so people took it, you know, it's a racist comment right there. So he's under fire for that. He wasn't fired yet. He had to resign and whatnot. Resign or anything like that. You know, this happened apparently 7-8 years ago in some emails that came out. You know. I think I'm getting in right now. Okay, yeah. Gruden came under fire for using apparent racist trope against NFL's Players Association executive director Damari Smith in a 2011 email. Okay. Pretty much saying his lips were big. You know, say he had rubber lips and whatnot. And he said he apologized for those comments, you know, this past week saying that, you know, that's just, you know, he didn't mean to hurt anybody and things like that, you know. But not only him being under fire for that, more stuff starts to come out. You ever heard the thing, when it rains, it pours, and oh my God, I'm sure John Gruden is extremely wet at this point. So it comes out now that he not only used a racist remark, but he used sexist and homophobic remarks as well in emails. Some of the stuff I got right here in front of me, guys, is when he stood up there and said something to the extent of he called NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, I'd rather not say, but it's a very bad word. We'll say it starts with the F word. He's a clueless anti-football. A woman's private parts. That's what he called him. Extremely uncalled for. Let's keep it moving. He also used homophobic slurs to describe NFL owners, coaches, and reporters who cover the league. This is a little disturbing as I continue to go on. He exchanged emails with Allen, including photos of women wearing only bikini bottoms. One photo reportedly included two Washington football team cheerleaders. Very, very inappropriate for somebody in his position, inappropriate in general. So, as it goes on, he goes on to make memes at Roger Goodell, referring to, we now have women refereeing in the NFL, which is an amazing thing that we broke that barrier, because just because you're a woman doesn't mean you don't know sports. I want that to be known now. I know some women who know a whole lot more than guys in sports. So, so we have women now refereeing in the NFL. What it shows right here, per the Times, in 2017, he shared a sexist meme of a woman refereeing in the NFL with Gruden replying, "Nice job, Roger," referring to Roger Goodell, NFL commissioner. All right? And you would think that, he's just pointing on at this point. Gruden, he could be a harsh guy. You don't want to get on his bad side. But this right here is just completely uncalled for. And one of these things I'm just now seeing is that he, in 2012, the re-election, apparently called the Vice President Joe Biden as well. I know, a nervous, clueless woman's private part is what he said. So, just a lot of very bad things that he did years ago that he apologized for. But you got to understand, when all this comes out like this, bro, you cannot stay a part of that franchise. He knew that. And the last thing I'm going to say before I get to talking about what my take on it, Michael Sam, we all know, came out as one of the first openly gay players ever to play in the NFL. He got drafted and everything like that. Didn't really pan out as a player, but he was one of the first to come out. Gruden made statements about that as well, saying Gruden criticized Goodell for pressuring former St. Louis Rams coach Jeff Fisher to draft queers, referring to someone gay, calling them a queer or whatnot. Whew, guys, this is a lot to unfold, with all this going on. We shouldn't be shocked, because this goes on in the world every single day. But you don't expect it from these so to speak, guys in the media and these role models, these head coaches. That's not how you're supposed to act. That's not how you're supposed to act. That's wrong, regard. That's wrong for just me to send stuff across talking like that. That's not right to do. So, stepping out of the box like that and doing something that's completely uncalled for. He apologized. But at this point, it was way too late. He had to resign, and they parted ways, which is the best situation right now for the Raiders organization. I mean, Gruden, I think he understood. He made several mistakes. And I don't think he, and to me, guys, I'm going to say this. I don't think he really feel like what he said was wrong or a mistake. You got to know John Gruden, know the type of guy he is. He doesn't look like a guy, and I don't believe he is, that walks a lot of stuff back. He's only apologizing because he got caught. He's not really apologizing for what he said. You know what I mean? He felt strongly about it. When he says that he normally feels extremely strong about what he's saying, I think he still feels the same way about that, about women, you know, refereeing, about Michael Sam coming into the league and drafting queers and stuff like that, and calling, you know, Demarius, you know, Smith rubber lips. And he still feels that way about that. But, you know, knowing that he got caught, he had to apologize. I'm sure the Raiders made him do it. And after a while, when it kept getting so bad, you're taking away from the team, taking away from the organization, you're taking away from football. We got to let you go. Because the minute you do that is the minute you're no longer down for this team and you're taking it away from the team. You're just a coach. No one man is bigger than this. So it was the best decision to let him go. I mean, Gruden, I'm extremely disappointed. I really like the Gruden. But sometimes, you know, people end up doing stuff. You know, you end up finding who they really are. You know, a lot of stuff is left in the dark when it comes to the NFL and whatnot. But it's very disturbing to see and hear things like this. I wish the Raiders the best. This is a great decision they made, regardless of who Gruden is. And Gruden, I don't know what's next for him. But I can say this, his future in the NFL, it's over. It's done with. So we can call that up and whatever, because he's done. He was also moved from the Buccaneers. You know, he won a championship there, Ring of Honor, whatnot. They got there. They removed him from that. So right now, I think he's going to stay low for a good while. But his future in NFL is definitely, definitely done. All right, on some other news. Kyrie Irving, the point guard of the Brooklyn Nets. Or is he? So, guys, I don't know if you know. But Kyrie, you know, excuse me. Let me say this. The NBA, a lot of teams have this thing. They want you to get vaccinated. They're not forcing it on you. But you have some places like Golden State as well as Brooklyn who won't allow you to be a full participant if you're not fully vaccinated. Kyrie Irving, one of the only few players left in the league not vaccinated. In Brooklyn, you know, here's what the thing was, that he could play away games and do come to some of the practices. So that's what they were trying to deal with. Maybe he can do that and whatnot. Sean Marks comes out and says this October 12th on Tuesday. It was breaking news all over the place, guys. Breaking news, right? Comes out and says, okay, that the decision, hold on, I mean, Brooklyn Nets general manager, excuse me, guys, Sean Marks said Tuesday that Kyrie Irving's decision to not comply with New York City's COVID-19 vaccine mandate left the organization with no choice but to send him away from the team until he's able to fully participate. Wow. Now, in a lot of ways, he's putting his foot down and saying, I can't allow Kyrie Irving to control this narrative. I can't allow him to do that. And I feel it. I feel it. And I also feel Kyrie, too. If you don't want to get vaccinated, I got that, too. I get it. I don't go back and forth with nobody about it. I don't touch on it a whole lot. You do what you want to do. That's fine. People got their reason why they want to take the shot, why they don't want to take the shot. That's on you. But when it comes to something like this, it's now becoming like a rule, Kyrie. It's like, yo, you either vaccinate yourself or we're going to have to move on without you. And now that there's been things about Kyrie that said that if they trade him, that, oh, he'll retire. I think at this point, after this right here, this statement made by general manager Sean Marks, he's saying, I'm calling your bluff, Kyrie. What's up? You want to retire? Go ahead. You're not finna pin me against the wall. You're not finna pin my back against the wall. I understand there's a lot going on, and this vaccination has become so political. But ultimately, he's looking at it like this. I'm the general manager of a basketball organization. And what's my job to do? Put the players in position to succeed. That's my job. And not hold this team back to go win a championship. We're on the brink of being able to win a championship. I got two of the greatest scorers to ever play the game in Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving. I want that to be you adding on to this. We're on the brink of doing something great. But if you're not willing to buy all the way in because you have your beliefs and that's completely fine, this is what I have to do to protect this team. Because this team, Brooklyn Nets, they have to go on with or without Kyrie Irving. I know Sean Marks wants him there. I know KD wants him there. James Harden, Steve Nash. I know they all want him there. But this is what has to happen. Because at that point, you're straddling the fence. I'm sure everybody on that team understands him not being, you know what I mean, his decision or whatnot. But then it starts to look like, well, now Kyrie can do this and Kyrie can do that. Other guys are showing up in this, but Kyrie doesn't have to show up to this time. And then the chemistry with the team can start to get off a bit. It's tough. It's tough both ways. It is. But when Sean Marks came out and said that statement, he said a whole lot when he said that statement, guys. I didn't think he would do it, but he came out and said, listen, Kyrie, I'm not catering to you no more. I'm tired of this. We know what happened last year with Kyrie taking a lot of time off, player time off, you want to call it, personal problems. I mean, whatever you got going on in personal life, please handle that. That's extremely important. But you just, you know, a lot of times when I was hearing that, nobody knew where he was or what happened or anything. You have to maintain a level of professionalism. I don't know what's going on with Kyrie Irving. We all got something going on. We all do. We truthfully do. So I vouch for him on that. But I just think at this point, Marks is like, look, man, are you all in or are you all out? You know? Because you got to look at that. He's thinking in the mindset of a basketball GM. You know? And I think he's saying now, Kyrie, nobody's going to hold a gun to your head to make you be here. Because that's how you kind of putting it out there on us. Like, we focus on this and that. Well, if you want to come play ball, do what you have to do. Come play ball. If you don't want to play ball for us, we'll really hate not having you here, but we have to go on without you. And that would just be what it is. The 12 guys we have here, we're going to stick with them. And that's how we're going to ride it out. So now, with Sean Marks making this statement, it's back in Kyrie's court now. What are you going to do is what it is. I heard he's not completely anti-vax, but he doesn't like the fact that people are losing their jobs or not getting it. I understand it. I get that. You know? It's like it's becoming a rule now. People, you got to be this in order to go here. And I get that it bothers a lot of people. But you can see the NBA is definitely going towards that direction. You got to have this vaccine if you want to come play. Simple as that. You don't get that, I can't really help you. I can't, and that's where it's going to be. It's starting with Brooklyn and Golden State. You're on the team, you got to be vaccinated in order to go out there and play. So it's interesting to see what's going to happen. They're talking about trading him, but now it's getting to a point that if teams see this, they don't really want to trade for him. You know? They're looking like, I don't want to deal with that. I need him vaccinated over here too. I don't want to break out over here if something happens. That's how they're looking at it now. So it's getting to a point is that Sean Marks is saying, I'm about done with your stuff. I'm not sure what you're going to do. And it's also getting to a point that, well, what about trading him? He's becoming untradeable because the other people out there is like, well, all that you're dealing with, and you have a chance to win a championship. You know what I mean? What? How am I going to get him to buy all the way in over here? That's all a lot of times GMs want. They want to put the pieces in place and they want everybody to buy in. They can see it all come together. So it's going to be interesting how this turns out. You know, I understand Kyrie's positioning. I understand Sean Marks' positioning. I mean, it's all about what's Kyrie's next move. If he decides he doesn't want to play ball anymore, I completely understand. I'm grateful for the years that he did play. You know? And if he decides to get the vaccine, I completely understand that as well. Kyrie has to do what is in best interest of Kyrie, guys. And you know, right now, Kyrie thinks, which he does a lot, he does his best interest for him. But he's got to do what he thinks best for his family at this moment. And I know Sean Marks got to do what's best in the interest of the Brooklyn Nets. Now, we got all that important news out the way. You know what I mean? Let's dive into some football, guys. Let's start off with none other than the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills showdown on Sunday Night Football. Man, was it one to see. You had lightning delays, man. You had turnovers. You know, you had Josh Allen jumping over folks, man. It was a sight to see, right? Sunday Night Showdown. And the final score of that game ended up being Buffalo Bills 38, Chiefs 20. No. Nothing's wrong with your radio dial. Nothing wrong with your volume on your phone. You heard that correctly. I'll say it again. Buffalo Bills 38, Chiefs 20. Yes, I know. I know. Now, I know a lot of people would have said, even I picked the Chiefs to win. I picked it to be close because the Bills are an extremely good football team. They do a lot of things right. And, of course, they got Josh Allen, right? But, oh, my God. On this night, y'all, it seemed as if the Bills could do no wrong and the Chiefs could do no right. It was, man. It's one of them things where it's just like, what is happening? And then the lightning delay happens. I was like, oh, they're giving the Chiefs way too much time to come out of the half and make something happen, dog. I'm telling you. And essentially, they blew them out twice. That's what happened. They blew them out in the first half, and they blew them out in the second half. Twice! How you get blew out twice in one night? On your home field. Now, we know the Chiefs have been struggling a bit this year. You know what I mean? We know they lost to the Chargers, Justin Herbert. We're going to talk about it a little bit later. We also know that, you know, the Chiefs have lost to the Ravens on Sunday Night Football. But me personally, folks saying, oh, Zach, the Bills going to win the Bills. And I was like, bro, there's no way Pat's going to let two primetime games like that go. No. He lost to Lamar on Sunday night, and he ain't finna lose again Sunday night, Josh Allen. And it happened. And now everybody's asking that number one question. Is the Chiefs season over? What's happening to Pat Mahomes? What's going on? All that trickery stuff he's doing, that stuff isn't working. You know what I mean? It's coming back to bite him. But do you want to know the truth on why all this is happening? On what the truth is, what's really going on? I'll tell you. You ready? The Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, are human. That's what's happening. They are human. They have done so much in these past, 3 years. That wowed us and amazed us and it was exciting. That now they're brought back to earth a bit. Not saying they're any less amazing because they're not. They had a dominant stretch going for a while. They played the game like I've yet to see anybody ever play the game. Nobody's ever played the game the way these guys do. Throwing from the opposite hand. Travis Kelce catching it and laddering it back. Tyreek Hill just shooting straight through the defense, running past everybody. No. Pitching it off, throwing a basketball. It's defying all the odds. It's breaking all the rules when it comes to the game. I have no problem with it, though. And everybody's saying it's coming back to bite you. I knew they were going to say this. But the thing is about this. We look at it when Tom Brady was with the Patriots. I remember his record in September a lot of times. It was not good. 2-3. 1-4. 2-2. You know? And Brady wasn't jumping off the walls and doing all this stuff like Pat Mahomes was. He was still just as great. So, what Brady has shown us is that he's human. We seen Brady, a couple weeks ago against the Rams? Throw 400 yards, still lose the game. We seen Brady against the Titans on his last year in the first round of the playoffs. Throw a pick six as his last throw for the Patriots. We seen Brady in the Super Bowl lose to my Philadelphia Eagles and get sacked on the last play trying to throw it out there. We've seen the great struggle. We've seen Brady win multiple MVPs when he looked at untouchable. But just because they ain't just playing at that same level right now and things aren't happening doesn't mean they still aren't as good. Because see, now they're in a different position. They're not 4-0, 5-0, 6-0. They're 2-3. So not only now are you not undefeated and you're not even 500 now. This is a position the Kansas City Chiefs have not been in at all since none other than Patrick Mahomes himself has taken over. So now, adversity, another chapter, right? You have to turn the chapter now. Because here's the thing. 2 straight Super Bowls, 1 championship, 1 MVP for Patrick Mahomes. So now, you can get back to the Super Bowl. They can't be on that same kick that they were before. It's got to be different now. As I tell several people, and I'm still telling several people, they got to go back to year one Patrick Mahomes again. And I don't mean throwing crazy passes and all this stuff. I mean now the football for them has got to become discipline. And I know it's going to sound crazy, but they have got to now start looking like what a lot of the rest of the league looks like. They're still going to show spurts and still going to be amazing. Don't get me wrong. I don't mean that. But now they got to start doing the stuff that's kind of boring, so to speak, right? Run the ball in between the tackles. Although they just lost Hilaire, they got to enforce their running game more, right? Pat can't sit up here and probably chunk it 50 yards down the field to Tyreek unless, you know, it opens up like that anymore because they're taking that away. He's got to throw some checkdowns here. You know, he throws the ball across the middle with Travis Kelce, but he can't take as many high-risk passes as he once could. It's different now. 3 years of them, watching them, and you're like, okay, I can't necessarily stop them, but let me take away from them what makes them so amazing with these big plays and him doing this and him doing that. Pat is still going to be great. Tyreek's still going to be great. Travis Kelce's still going to be great. But let me minimize these things. And that's what the Buccaneers had done in the Super Bowl, although Pat Mahomes was missing his left tackle and whatnot. That's what the Bills did the other night. That's what the Ravens was doing that other Sunday night. So they're taking away these things. And a lot of the breaks, because you got to catch breaks when you're playing and you're on a Super Bowl run, they're not getting a lot of them now. A lot of those footballs that didn't get picked when Patrick Mahomes was throwing, they're getting picked now. A lot of those throws he was making, it ain't coming off the same way anymore. It's a little bit different now. And that is okay. I knew at some point it would happen. Because it's hard to stay at that level forever. But I'm still taking a Patrick Mahomes. Now, what he has to do now is slow his game down and become very disciplined. Because defenses are telling you, this is what you're going to get now, Pat. You're getting this, and you're getting this, and take it. They're still forcing the issue? No, I'm still going to do what I want to do anyway. And it's hurting them now. I think this version of Pat Mahomes coming back from this version of the Chiefs team could be even better, right? Because they can't get all the stuff they're used to. So this is going to force them to be smarter, disciplined, and play within the game now. You know? That's exactly what this is going to be. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? 2-3, it's time to tap into something you ain't never tapped in before, Chiefs. Patrick, Andy Reid, it's time. Defensively, you got a lot of things to fix. Tons. It's ridiculous. But it's now, guys, they can finally slow the game down. Run the football. And I think it's going to become even more of a threat everywhere now. I know you think they got threats all over the place. But if they can pick up a consistent running game, okay, it opens up for passing. Because see, now you're thinking, oh, pass, 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 pass. And after a while, you stay in pass for so long, you're going to come up with some big plays. And this time, the defense has been coming up with big plays more so than the offense. That's just what's been happening. So this is going to force them to slow the game. Now, Andy Reid, as great as the play calling is, Eric Bieniemy, they're going to have to come together and run this football, slow the game down. They are. You can't get everything in 5 to 10 seconds. And it's going to help them as well. Take some pressure off this defense, allow them to build more chemistry together, make smarter plays. Just all about helping each other out. That's all it is. Am I worried about the Chiefs? No. But I think they... No, it's time for them to tap into something that they never tapped into before. Also, shout out to the Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen. Man, he's looking like it's his conference, and he's taking it over this year. That's exactly what he's looking like. You know, he's amongst the top right now. He's gotten better every single year. He's smart with the football nowadays. He's not as chaotic as he used to be. And that Bills defense, my God, are they something special, man. They're a treat to watch. They shut out people. They're the real deal. Bills, y'all keep doing what you think, man. Y'all keep doing. Moving on. Talking about the Chargers. Woo. Guys, my God. Like, it was just, you know, here we go. Another big score. 47-42 Los Angeles Chargers over the Cleveland Browns. My goodness. I tell you, man. I got to see some of this game, and it was something to watch. You know, Baker Mayfield went 23 for 32, 305 yards, 2 touchdowns. Justin Herbert, my Lord, 26 for 43, 398 yards, 4 touchdown passes. Dude, what? Huh? My Lord, it's just see something else. But listen, I could talk about the Browns running game, and I could talk about the Chargers passing game and name off this and that what the quarterbacks did. But ultimately, everybody wants to know who's to blame for the Browns. Browns are now 3-2, Chargers now 4-1. Who's to blame? A lot of people, I could go up here and say, hey, it's definitely Baker Mayfield's fault not finishing the game, you know, getting the ball down the field, handling the business, getting the ball in the end zone. I could say that. I could say, oh, no, that defense, the Cleveland Browns defense, Lord have mercy, gave up 47 points. What? 47 points? Come on, dog. You're supposed to be legit. Then when it, a week or two ago, you just got, what, I don't know, about 9 sacks or something like that on Justin Fields? Huh? Or, hey, I could even point the finger at Odell Beckham, and there were a lot of y'all like to do it. I mean, not y'all, but you know, the media, you know, likes to do it. Odell Beckham, you know, Baker's just too zoned in on him. Truth is, it's none of that. None of that at all. Let me tell you why. Baker Mayfield played well enough for them to win this game, right? Played well enough. Threw over 300 yards passing, 2 touchdowns. He played well enough for them to win this football game, okay? The defense, oh my God, yeah, they gave up a lot of points. But look at the offense that they were playing. I think this defense is still going to be just fine. No defense is a shutdown defense. I named the Bills just a second ago, who's played probably some of the best defense right now in the league. But no defense is a shutdown defense in this league at this point. I wish people would stop. Nobody is, was it the Steel Curtain and back with Lawrence Taylor? Nobody is those guys anymore. This league is a lot of passing. Quarterbacks throwing about 40, 50 times a game. There's no shutdown defense in the league. None. Okay? They're going to be just fine, the Browns defense. And Odell Beckham, no, he's not the problem. What I did bother me, though, is that with Baker Mayfield throwing over 300 yards and everybody else getting in on the action, that he only got 2 receptions for 20 yards. That bothers me. I don't think it's a fit in Cleveland, but that's a conversation for another day. Who's to blame for this? It's Justin freaking Herbert. Oh, my gosh. This dude right here, ooh-wee, is a dog. Have y'all seen this man? He done won 3 straight games. 3 straight games since they lost to the Cowboys. His stats this year, 13 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Like, you look at the numbers. He hasn't thrown under 200 yards the entire season, man. At all. He has 2 games this year. We only threw 1 touchdown. The rest are 3 touchdowns or 4 touchdowns. What? Like, this dude is something serious, man. He's the blame for this. He's the blame for the Browns giving up 47 points. He is the blame because he is the man right now. This dude is in his MVP bag. This dude is getting it. And let me tell you, ain't nothing like confidence out of a quarterback. Brandon Staley and what they're doing over there with the Chargers, they trust this dude. I've seen this dude on a 4th-and-9 at Kansas City go for it. It went from 4th-and-3, I think it was, whatever, I can't remember. One of the offensive line jumped outside thinking they're surely going to punt it out. No, the offense back out there, 4th-and-9 and completes the pass. The trust they got in this dude is beyond me for such a young QB. And my God, is he living up to it? This Justin Herbert guy is no joke. I saw him coming out of Oregon. I thought he was good, but golly. Did not know he was coming like this. I did not. And I don't think the league knew it either. The Chargers are scary this year. 3 straight wins? You beat the Kansas City Chiefs? You're 4-1 in your division? Overall? And you got a quarterback who's fearless with the receivers of Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, Austin Eckler coming out the backfield. What? He's the blame. And any other team that goes out like this is against the Chargers, Justin Herbert is still the blame. That's who it is for him being as good as he is. So point the finger at Justin Herbert, if anything. Point the finger at him. Don't point this back at the Browns. They laid it all out there. They gave everything they had. they lost. They lost. I mean, and I look at the stats now, like, the running game was cool. Kareem Hunt, 12 attempts with 61 yards, 2 touchdowns. Nick Chubb, 21 carries, 161 yards, a touchdown. They were good. They're good in the running game. Njoku, 7 receptions, 149 yards, 1 touchdown. Like, they were good. They were good. But I tell you what did make them good was the man on the other side with the football, number 10. That's who. That's who didn't make them feel so good. So kudos to the Chargers. Listen. I'm like buying a ticket just to see these guys play every week at this point, because just to see what Justin Herbert's gonna do. He ain't throwing the ball like behind the back and stuff like Pat, but man, just watching him go out there and compete. Watch the offense. They look like they're gonna score every single drive, y'all. Every single drive. Every game they played in this year, they could have won it. They lost just one to the Cowboys, and they could have won there. They got 2 touchdowns called back. So let's go ahead and give Justin Herbert his respect. Let's give this Chargers team their respect. Staley, Coach Staley, his respect. And if we're going to blame, let's go ahead and blame Justin Herbert for being as good as he is. Keep doing what you're doing. I cannot wait to see how the rest of his season plays out. Okay. Moving on. Speaking of the Cowboys, they were able to defeat the New York Giants this past Sunday, 44-20. Now, I'm going to say this, okay, Saquon Barkley got hurt early, hurt his ankle, hurt my fantasy team, but more importantly, it's about, you know, his health, because you hate to see a guy go out like that, because after everything, he's been working so hard to get back, so he's supposed to be out for a couple weeks. Daniel Jones lays it all out on the line at the goal line and gets hit, so, you know, he got up and started stumbling, so they were gone in the first half, lost 2 of their key players. Sterling Shepard didn't play that game, he was injured. And I believe they ended up losing Kenny Galladay as well. Cowboys go on to win 44-20. So, that being said, with everything, I'm going to still give the Cowboys their props. I am. I'm not going to take that from them. Because they were playing pretty well in that game anyway. Dak Prescott, 22-32. 302 yards. 3 touchdowns. 1 turnover. So, we're going to give credit where it's due. Ezekiel Elliott. I've said this to a lot of people. Look, Zeke ain't looking like first-year Zeke, but my God, he looking like a prototype or something, the way he's running the football. He's looking a whole lot quicker, faster, everything, okay? I will give him that. He is looking good right now. 21 carries, 110 yards, and 1 touchdown. And he's getting involved in the passing game as well, okay? Tony Pollard coming in, handling the business, 14 carries, 75 yards. CeeDee Lamb coming in right here. 4 receptions for a touchdown. Dalton Schultz, 6 receptions, 79 yards. And Amari Cooper, 3 receptions, 60 yards and a touchdown. Oh, my God. Listen, Michael Parsons has been amazing this year. Even after they cut Jalen Smith, he's able to take on the load, him and Leighton Vander Esch. And Trayvon Diggs, little brother of Stephon Diggs. Oh, my God. He looks like a receiver when he catch picks. He used to play receiver, but, you know, Nick Saban moved in the corner. It had to be the best thing that's ever happened to him. He is amazing. My God. It's beautiful to see him catch footballs. But anyway, question is, man, are the Cowboys a legit Super Bowl contender? I can tell y'all, come on here and be real. Y'all know I'm an Eagles fan. We're talking about the Knicks. You know I'm an Eagles fan, but I got to come on here and be real. And I can't be biased. I'm not going to be biased like that. This Cowboys team does look extremely special this year. It looks like they're hitting stride at the right time. Their defense is playing at a high level. The offense, it looks like it's finally clicking now. It's finally clicking now. And what we always said, this team can be extremely scary if the offense starts finding its stride and clicking. And now, guys, they are clicking. Zeke, looking as great as ever. Look, Tony Pollard coming out the backfield looking good, too, giving Zeke breaks. Amari Cooper playing fantastic. CeeDee Lamb getting involved. Dalton Schultz, they catching stride. So this team, to me, Dak Prescott at the head of it all, man. Looks like he's going to throw at least 3 touchdowns every game, if not 4 touchdowns. Everything, he's seeing the field so clearly right now. So I've got to say this team looks different in a good way. I don't know how long it'll last, but if you're asking me who's coming out the AFC or who's top team in the NFC, they're one of them. If they can keep up like this, they can stay healthy through 17 weeks, they could get them a first round bye. And then it's going to really be time to pay the piper then. But right now, they look legit. I'm just going to give it to them. In past years, I've seen them win games, but it didn't look like they look now. They look different. This team, this confidence, this edge, they look different. I'm telling you. Kellen Moore and Dak Prescott, woo, that combination right there is deadly. They look different. And I'm just, you know, like I said, I'm hoping they lose games and sake of my Eagles. But from a football standpoint, this team right here looking special this year. I got to say, not giving them the Super Bowl. I'm not giving them a playoff win. I'm just saying they're looking really good right by now. It may run out at some point, but as of right now, they are looking good. Now, on a lighter note, you know, talking about my Eagles, you know, we're just going to touch on it. You know, we were able to go to Carolina, win 21-18, you know, going move to 2-3, right under 500 at the time. You know, Hurts didn't play particularly well, 22-37, 198 yards, one interception. But it was one of those things we grinded out and win. And I just kind of expect that. When trying to figure out games like we are now, we're trying to figure out how to win, and we're trying to figure out what type of team we're trying to figure out. Sirianni, our coach, it's Hurts, our quarterback. We're trying to figure out these things, and man, it's Philly. We always ain't got it out the mud. It's never been any, you know what I mean? That's how we won the championship with a backup quarterback, dog. You know, but every week Hurts always makes me look at him and be like, okay. Even on bad weeks, he comes back with a good week. In a bad week. But his biggest thing for me, guys, is consistency. We got to figure out consistency. His offense has got a lot of special things in it. Sirianni seems like he knows what he's doing. Hurts is getting more comfortable. The chemistry is starting to build. And I'm liking it. I am liking it. I just need more consistency per week basis is what I need out of us right now. We have a chance. We have a chance. But we have to take it game by game. That's the type of team we are, and I've accepted that. That's fine right now. We're figuring a lot of things out. But right now, I think this is going a lot smoother than what a lot of people projected and even what I projected right now. So shout out to my Eagles on the win. Let's move on to next week, guys. Okay. We're about at the conclusion of our show. We got this one, and, you know, then we got one more topic, then we out of here. But, guys, I've got to say something about none other than the man himself. Woo-wee! Lamar Jackson. Oh, my God. I don't know if y'all tuned in Monday night, but y'all need to at least go look at the highlights. It was special. It was special. So let me just tell you why it was so special. Okay. The Baltimore Ravens, end up beating the Indianapolis Colts in overtime 31-25. Now, you probably think, oh, Lamar ran 100 yards, but nine. Lamar Jackson threw for a career high. Listen up. 442 yards and 4 touchdowns. Oh, not to mention, the Ravens were down 25-9 to the Colts with just under 12 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter. Run that back if you didn't hear that. Fourth quarter, guys, under 12 minutes, 25-9 deficit, 442 yards, 4 touchdowns. Huh? What? Listen, I've said it on this podcast before. I said it on the last one talking about Lamar Jackson. He's made me a believer now. Simple. I believe in Lamar Jackson now. When he went and won the game against the Chiefs Sunday night, going for it, 4th and 1, 4th and 2, I believe it was, ending the game, he's made me a believer. Last year against the Browns, Monday Night Football, he's injured. He comes back out. He scrambles out on 4th and 5, I believe. Throws a touchdown to Marquise Brown. Yeah, I'm a believer in Lamar Jackson. I am. And I know they banged up that most of their running backs are hurt defensively, no Marcus Peters. But, dude, you got to believe in this guy. You ain't got no choice. And it's just starting to make me feel. It's starting to give me this feeling, guys, is if Lamar Jackson, it could be his time. And I ain't talking about MVP and one that. I'm talking about Super Bowl, y'all. The way this guy is pulling out games, he's never came from behind like this. That was his thing. He can't play from behind. That was his thing. And he did it there. Not only did he do it there, I will give the Colts credit because they played him well all night. He wasn't really able to do much with his legs because they was always there. He was slipping. He fumbled. He did it with his arm. Oh, I'm so proud of Lamar Jackson. And it just got me feeling like, could it be his time? Could it be the Ravens' time that they connecting the pieces and putting it together? Yeah, I think it may be. Because at this point, I can't even go against the man. You done all people said you couldn't do. He ain't a consistent thrower. He throws for 442 yards and 4 touchdowns to win the game, y'all. It's at this point, I'm like, I don't think it's nothing that he can't do. He's going to go down to the wire. Passing was always his biggest thing. And he won the game with the passing. We were just talking about over the course of the game, making passes. He ended up having to rely solely on the passing. And he did it. Lamar Jackson, kudos to you, man. Baltimore Ravens, shout out to the entire team. Of course, y'all played an amazing game. Y'all still had a chance to win that game. Missing the field goal, but what happened would happen. But they played about as good as I've seen a lot. Anybody play Lamar. And he ended up beating. They said, Lamar, beat us with your arm. We don't believe you can do it. And he did it. And then some. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Proud to say. Proud to see what he's doing. And like I said, y'all, if he goes all the way, I will not be shocked at all. I will not be. Because we're finding out what Lamar Jackson and his Ravens team is made of. And coming down to our final topic of the day. I know y'all here tired of hearing me talk. We're going to dive into some college football. Now, you all know Oklahoma. You know what I mean? A lot of people say QBU, whatever you may say. I think it was the Red River Showdown. Correct me if I'm wrong, against Texas. And, man, they were kind of down bad in that first half, you know. Heisman hopeful Spencer Rattler, they went, you know, he was fumbling and threw interception and things like that. It wasn't looking too good, you know. It wasn't looking too good. And that being said, you know, it was looking so bad that, you know, Lincoln Riley said, well, let me put the backup in, Caleb Williams. He's a hybrid guy, freshman, I believe, true freshman. Can run, nice size guy, got a decent arm. Y'all, this man comes into the game and wins it 55-48. What? Huh? I'm going to give Caleb Williams and these Oklahoma Sooners their flowers. And shout out to Texas because they played an amazing game too. You know, Caleb Williams gets into the game and right away, takes off like a 60-yard run for a touchdown. As soon as they take Spence out. But here was the thing. Here was the question, though. Spence gets benched in the late first half. He got benched late first half last year against Texas. Second half, they come back, they start Spencer, end up winning. So it's like, are they going to do it this year? No. No, 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 no. This is why Lincoln Riley is amazing what he does. They start this kid, and my God, some of the throws he made were ridiculous. Whoo, my God, they were ridiculous. Now, you can say, oh, a little shaky here and there, of course, but the fact that he pulled this game out, I'm thinking he's probably going to start Caleb Williams. Start, because, I mean, I don't know how you don't. You guys know I love Spencer Rattler, but let's end the show talking about Spence. You come in as a Heisman hopeful, you know, projected to be overall draft. Come in first season, this season. You struggle against Tulane. Let's call it what it is. He struggled against Tulane coming into the season. And that's a team that's good, but they definitely, took them for granted. I will say that. They definitely took them for granted, and it came back to bite them. As it should have. But, you know, just continue through the games he went on to play, he doesn't look comfortable right now. Right now, he's sitting at 10 touchdowns and 5 interceptions on the season. Last year, he had 28 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. So he's about at the mark for an interception goes that he, you know, he looks like he's going on track to pass it. It sucks. Because now, He's definitely not going to be top five draft pick. You got benched. That's going to play a factor. So you can execute that out now. You're going to need to stay another year. Now, not only that's going on, but now you got the backup who comes in. And now you possibly not going to be able to start maybe the rest of the year. So now people are talking transfer portal. I don't know. It all depends on what Lincoln Riley does this game, next game, and what Caleb Williams does for the rest of the season. And we're going to see. And I like Mr. Spencer Rattler. I've been watching this guy since he went to Pinnacle High School in Arizona. I've been watching him since QB1, right? And it sucks. It looks like it's all mental right now. Because when I seen him in the first game, I said, whoa. Whoa, I said, all respect to Tulane, I said, he does not look ready right now. Then I go on as the season progresses. And, you know, watch him playing some close ball games. But, man, West Virginia. Oh, wow. You know, the crowd's going to talk. They're going to say what they're going to say. But the truth is, he looks like a deer in headlights right now. He doesn't look ready for the next level. And it disappoints me because I know he's better than this. And he knows he's better than this. So he's going to have to come back next year and prove his stock. Now, whether it be with Oklahoma, I do not know. I don't know. That's a decision he had to make. If I could guess, if they keep this up, then it'd probably be elsewhere. It'll probably be elsewhere. I'll say that. But sometimes this is like a reality shock right here, man. He's got to go back to the drawing board now. I don't know if he got too hyped the way, you know, all this Heisman hopeful got in his head. But he's got to go back to the drawing board now. He got to fix it. He's got to. Spencer, mentally get yourself right, man. Root your team on right now. If you're asked to play, go out there and compete. You can. You know what, man? You can still change this possibly. I don't know what it's going to do for our scouts and things like that. I don't know the extent or what that may go. I don't know. You know, because you getting benched in a huge game like that is what they're going to look at. And they're going to bring it up. But, I mean, right now, just focus on the season and see whatever happens after then will happen after then. Other than that, man, just go ball. Just go ball. Your number's called to go back out there this week against TCU. Go ball. Because right now, you guys are top four. You're 6-0. You haven't lost a game. As bad as he's been playing and struggling with that, he just got benched his last game. He's won all the other ones playing like he's played. So just, Spence, get your mindset right, man. You're better than this. We all know you are better than this, man. Go out there, compete. Don't worry about anything else around you other than what's in front of you. Go compete. Go be Spencer Rattler. Stop worrying about the draft. Stop worrying about what the fans are saying up there. Stop worrying about the Heisman. Go play football and do what you do best, Spencer. And then see where you end up, man. Come on, get right. All right, guys, that concludes our show. Thank you all so much for tuning in today, man. I know y'all is tired of hearing my voice for a while, but hopefully next week I can bring somebody else on the show. I don't want to really give it up yet. But if I can get them on here, you know what I mean, y'all here when we do the podcast and whatnot. But we're going to see. I'm going to try to make that work so I can get y'all some different voices on here as well, other than just myself and DJ and Dad. You know what I mean? Changing up. A lot of people want to come on, and I'm definitely welcome to doing that with you guys, man. But other than that, I hope you enjoyed the show. It'll definitely be on Spotify, iTunes today. No YouTube today, guys. Hopefully, we'll get that going back up next week. But we for sure will be on Spotify and iTunes. It's called The Kid Zach Podcast, guys. KIDDZACK Podcast, guys. Make sure you look that up. Give it a listen on your way to work, on your way back from work, at home with the kids, chilling with the boys. Hey, I'm very grateful you guys get on here and listen to me every day, speak this stuff about sports, man. Honestly, it means a lot to me. We try to come weekly with it. I may miss last week, but we're going to try to keep bringing it to you every single week, man. I enjoy this. I love doing this, man. Thank you all so much again for tuning in. We'll have this up as soon as possible, and you all have a great day. Be blessed.